Chapter 30, Equivalent Exchange. The array burst into being, rushing forth like a hot, harsh tide. It manifested in sweeping lines that snaked across the ground, branching off and coming together again as the image blossomed. It wiped clean older designs and smoothed over cracks and breaks, forming a blank canvas in front of the rush of its creation. Ed knelt in the center, his hands hovering above the earth as the energy poured from him. It pulled at his core, dragging his body as if his life was its sustenance. His strength nourished it, seeping down through his palms and spreading out in blazing swaths of white and blue. He kept his eyes closed, ignoring the frenzy of the world beyond his alchemy. He knew Carmine was still struggling to be free of her temporary prison, just as the part of the gate within him was threatening to drown him out in its desperation. Gritting his teeth, Ed focused, feeling the prickle of sweat along his hairline. Even just bringing the design into existence and etching it on the stone was tiring him. His limbs felt as if they were all made of automail, dragging him below the thick surface of exhaustion. Even all the energy that the gate had provided him with was not going to be enough to activate the array.
"It could kill you,"
Carmine spat, her shrill, furious words breaking his concentration.
"Do you think the world will remember your sacrifice? Do you think they will be grateful?"
He heard the fluttering gasp of her indrawn breath as the lines connected, completing the massive circle.
"What makes you think you will even succeed?"
He opened his eyes, glancing at her as he spoke. "If there was no chance of me winning, then you wouldn't be afraid. It's plain as day that you're fucking terrified." It was easy to see the panic in the steel of her gaze, and white teeth bit down on her lip as she renewed her efforts to escape. The sounds coming from her throat were increasingly human, and he hesitated, staring at the slow flush of life in her pale cheeks.
"The gate is losing its grip on her."
Kaleo's voice was awed, and Ed quickly turned his attention inward, reaching out tentatively for the thundering cacophony of furious light deep within him. The gate had stopped lashing out. He no longer burned from its attacks. Now it was a brooding cloud of malevolence, stark and silent. It was biding its time, waiting for the moment when Ed was too far gone to defend himself against its onslaught. Gritting his teeth, he drew in a deep breath. The gate could believe whatever it wanted. He would not go through all of this, would not sacrifice so much, only to have all his efforts turned to dust. He would see this through to the end, no matter what it took. Ed let his gaze wander over the square, staring at the grooves that spread out around him, coiling and sweeping like a massive vine. There were four smaller circles within the circumference, and he could see symbols protruding like thorns from the main stem of the design. It had been changing constantly in his head, evolving from one layout to the next, and he had not realized what it would look like until now. As he stared, he realized that it made sense to him. It was like opening a book written in a foreign language and finding that, while he did not know the words, he could understand what they meant. The image that had carved itself across the square was more than a means to an end. Everywhere he looked, there were representations of all forms of alchemy, elemental and biological, natural and chemical. It was as if every array ever developed was there, waiting to be activated. Looking towards the periphery, he could see the others still struggling. Carmine's creatures were losing their coordination, slowly falling apart as the woman who made them struggled to find the strength she needed to break free. Yet there was still fight left in them, and Ed winced as one sliced at Roy, leaving a long, deep line of blood across his cheek. It was dispatched in a vindictive bout of flame, but another stepped up to take its place in an instant. "Time to put an end to this," Ed murmured, letting his eyes drift closed again as he dropped his fingertips to where the four inner circles met. Opening his mind, he saw the flare of human lives, moving quickly as they fought. They burned passionately, tempting and powerful, but even if he dragged every life in the city, he was still not sure it would be enough. Besides, that was Carmine's way of doing things. Her alchemy was like a dark shroud. Every corpse was a cocoon of mobile blackness, trailing veils of shadow as they attacked. The woman herself was a slim pillar of night, violet-edged with fury. Except that, in the heart of all that gloom, something burned bloody red. It was a dying star of humanity, and Ed felt Kaleo's surprise flow through him. There was something left of the young ruler's mother, and it was fighting back against the dusky clutches of the gate with every second. Slowly, carefully, Ed reached out his senses, already knowing what he had to do. Last time he had faced Carmine, he had pulled stray energy out of the air, dragging it in from the world around him to use against her in a last-ditch attempt to drive out the gate. It had almost cost him his life, but now? Now the world was no longer a normal place. It seethed with ribbons of power. The ground was green and brown with thorny light as the wind blew white tendrils and sapphire raindrops across his mind's eye. The sky overhead was twisting with crimson and violet, too dangerous to reach out and touch, but calling to him all the same.
Four inner circles, four elements.
Ed grinned at Kaleo's words, feeling adrenaline race through his blood. The boy was right. Had the array been influenced by Ed's need not to take human life? Had the design changed to utilize the energy that was already gushing into the world like water through a burst dam? Another thought crossed his mind, making his heart skip with hope. If the power did not belong in Amstress, then would he need to pay it back? Would there be a price, or would it cost him nothing? Beneath his flesh palm, he felt the array pulse, stirring as if it were a living thing waking from a deep slumber. The air caught in his lungs, pure and clean as heat flowed towards him. Rain trickled over his skin in vivid cobalt lines, twisting over the steel and flesh of his arms and pooling around his fingers, mingling with the lush green light of the earth that seeped upwards. The ground shuddered as if in relief, rumbling with massive purrs as the transmutation slowly began to take hold. Even though his eyes were closed, he could see shifting gossamer strands weaving themselves around him. They pushed down into the design like questing roots, thickening as the stormy winds gained strength, slamming into his bent shoulders like a fist as it flowed around him. Earth, air, water. The only other thing he needed was fire. Without it, the array would overload, the balance tipped too far by the contradicting flow of the other elements. The soft, beckoning touch of familiar alchemy made Ed draw in a breath, opening his eyes and lifting his head. Roy stood at the circle's edge, ignoring the harrowing battle around him as he worked. Hawkeye was at his side, shooting anything that got too close and calling out orders while Hughes watched their backs, a knife ready to throw in each hand. Roy's eyes were unblinking, sharply focused as he guided a swath of solid, stable flame towards the array. As soon as it touched the outer circumference, it was drawn down into the lines, where it flowed along in a molten river of crimson and gold until it brushed against Ed's hand. It was not a painful bite and burn, but a tender thrill of heat against his skin, silken sunlight. Mutely, Ed tipped his head to the side, giving a weak smile of thanks. He did not know how Roy had understood what he had needed without being asked. In the end, it was not important. The only thing that mattered was that now, there was something amidst all of this alien energy that was familiar to him. The steady warmth drifted across his skin and sank inwards to curl at his core. As he watched, Roy let his hands fall to his side, the last sparks cascading down to the wet ground and snuffing themselves out in the dancing puddles. The grumble of the array rose to a shuddering howl, filling his ears with its cry and deafening him to the world. He winced, but did not take his eyes off Roy's face, unwilling to look away. As he watched, Roy took a deep breath, and his lips framed three words that made Ed's heart thud with sudden, tight-chested happiness. A grin flashed across his lips in response, and Ed shut his eyes for a second before he said, "I love you too, idiot." Roy's smile was quick and true, and Ed knew that he had worked out what had been said, even if he could not hear it over the shrill song of the array. Joy was a short-lived reprieve, and he saw creeping fear darken Roy's expression. He squared his shoulders beneath his uniform as if he was trying to brace himself for what the future might hold, and Ed wished that he could promise that he would return safe and sound. But how could he? He knew as well as Roy that this could be the last time that they saw each other, and the knowledge was as painful as a knife to the heart. A fierce, determined snarl caught beneath Ed's ribs, forcing aside his doubts and buoying him with another burst of strength. There was no fucking way this thing was beating him. The sooner he started, the sooner he could be back at Roy's side and enjoying life how it was meant to be. Once this was over, he could close the book on his dealings with the gate forever. Flexing his fingers against the stone beneath his palms, Ed took a deep breath, pushing away all feeling except for the dizzying swirl of light around him. He could sense it building in the array, could feel its flow from one area to the other, perfectly balanced and flawlessly whole. There were no breaks in the lines or errors in the design, but there was still not enough power to begin the transmutation. He did not dare push more into the tangle of inner circles. The array was held in teetering equilibrium, but the tiniest adjustment could push it over into a devastating explosion. The only thing left to influence was the outer edge, where the lines remained dead and dark, touched by alchemy but not filled with it. Far above, the thunder snarled, and Ed felt a shudder work its way down his spine as inspiration struck. The high hum in his ears increased in pitch, becoming a squealing scream as the hairs on the back of his neck stood on end. He dimly heard a shout and the sudden clatter of footsteps, but he could not open his eyes to look. All of his will was focused on the ocean of color around him and the darting, flashing bolts of lightning that were tearing the sky apart with their wrath. It barely took any urging from him to draw the raw, wild rage of the tempest down from the sky and plunge it into the outer circle of the array. The surge hit like a punch, and Ed choked as the circle burst into vivid life. His heart was a racing beat in his chest, throbbing harder and faster with every passing second until his body was one large pulse of alchemy. Slowly, the power changed direction, seeping back towards him and finding its way through, as if his body were the only lens that could bring all that force into focus, concentrating the seething energy into one massive transmutation. The world heaved, the ground trembling as if in pain, as the rain fell thick and hard. Above his head, the storm was silent, drained of its fury as the light emanating from the array intensified, bringing false day to the gloom of the city. He felt the change in the air a second before the wind howled, high and keening. A hole was opening into the plain of the gate. He could feel its presence like an abyss in his mind, dark and fundamentally wrong. Dizziness gripped Ed in nauseous clutches, and he gritted his teeth, opening his eyes as he tried to push the sensation away. He could not see anything of Ryder's. The square and all its occupants had been blocked out by a shifting veil of light, and all he caught were faint glimpses of the world beyond the array. His vision was filled with the gaping rip in the air, dank, gray, and sinister as it spread, seeping into Amstrass. Beneath his hands, the stones curved unevenly. The wind slapped at his face. The cry of the gale took on an extra dimension, and he shuddered as he looked around at the thick fog of spirits that permeated the plain of the gate. They were restless and turbulent, but they kept their distance. As he stared, a dark shape resolved itself from the surrounding dusk, sauntering closer until it stood at the very edge of the array. Envy's eyes were narrowed, and his lips twitched into a cruel, smug sneer as he took in Ed's kneeling form. "Well, it looks like the pipsqueak alchemist has finally learned his place. You look good like that. Begging. Just like you should be." He put his hands on his slim hips and tossed his hair back over his shoulder as he chuckled. "I was wondering when you would be back. I should have known that I wouldn't have to wait long." "Fuck off, Envy," Ed spat. "You're in my way." "Oh? You really think that you little shit, are going to rebuild the gate? Maybe you activated that array, and maybe you got here, but you won't go any further." His teeth flashed white as he grinned, his hand forming into the vicious spar as his body coiled to pounce. "I'll make sure of it." Ed tried to defend himself against the blow, but his palms were stuck as surely as if his wrists were chained to the ground. Real fear thrashed through him as his memories boiled up, recalling the slice of Envy's blade between his ribs years ago. He felt the alchemy pouring through him flinch and change, tangling itself with emotion before something else burst through, adding its strength to the array. As soon as Envy crossed the outer edge, his snarl became a human scream of pain. Light surged into his chest, tangling tendrils around the red stones that gave him life and pulling them free. They fell to the ground one by one, like glimmering drops of solid blood before they vanished, consumed by the frothing alchemy. "You're too late, humunculus." Carmine's voice was a solitary, cracked whisper, and Ed turned his head wearily. He could see that the gate still clung to her, but its presence was weaker now, as if it were drawing itself back and reserving its strength. It probably still curled in her like a parasite, but for the first time since he had seen her, Carmine was free of her puppet strings. The invisible bonds of alchemy holding her in place had long since faded away, but she was still trapped, as much a component of the array as he was. Her legs had collapsed under her, and she braced herself on her palms as she fed her strength into the design, blending it carefully with Ed's. "It has already begun. There is no stopping this now, and whichever gate stands once it is done will consume you. Wherever you run, wherever you hide, it will find you, and it will take you back into itself and never let you go again." She closed her eyes as if in pain, and added in a tiny voice, "I know, because it will do the same to me. It's over, and no amount of fighting will change that." "Bitch!" Envy snarled as he dropped to his knees, rolling frantically away from the clutching lines of the array until he lay on the other side of its circumference, panting and retching as his hate bolstered his flagging strength. His skin was pale and drenched in sweat, and his eyes were clouded. Almost everything had been taken from him, and he tried to get to his feet only to fall back to the insubstantial ground. "You think that helping him now will make a difference?" He pointed at the thick fog that surrounded them on all sides. "You created that, and it's just waiting for its chance to thank you." Carmine's gaze flickered at the untethered ghosts. Her expression was one of horrified guilt, and Ed thought he saw a glimmer of tears on her cheeks. All she had wanted was her son back, and that desperate need had led her to do unspeakable things. Now that she could look at the world through human eyes, she could see her sin, and Ed felt a stab of something like pity. "As for you," Envy hissed, his hateful gaze focusing on Ed, "I might not be able to kill you, but I can have some fun before I go." He looked beyond them, at the wavering interface of the Gates Plain and Amstress. "I can make sure that, if you survive, there's no one left to welcome you back." He clambered unsteadily to his feet and circled around, never turning his back as he pouted mockingly. "I hope you already said your goodbyes." "Leave them alone!" Ed roared hoarsely, but Envy's only response was a chilling laugh as he stepped through the shifting fall of light and shadow, vanishing from sight. Ed closed his eyes, pulling fiercely at the power that held his hands pressed to the ground. There was no way to escape, no way to stop Envy from getting back to Amstris, and he cursed himself for not having remembered the homunculus's presence. He should have had some kind of plan, but he had been so intent on rebuilding the gate that he had forgotten what lay waiting on the other side. Perhaps the hunger of the array had weakened Envy enough to make him vulnerable. Roy and Al were by no means defenseless, and, as much as Ed hated being so powerless to help them, he had to trust that they could fight off Envy's attacks and put an end to the homunculus's tyranny for good. The gloom surged inwards, wrapping itself in a dense wall around the array. Wailing, furious faces took shape and faded again as gnarled hands clawed out towards them. Every attempt only brought flashing retribution from alchemy that danced beneath Ed's palms, but it was still an unnerving sight.
"Please do not let them take her."
Kaleo's request was made in the smallest voice, and Ed was harshly reminded that the king, for all his wisdom, was still just a child who missed his mother. All of her wrongs were forgivable in the boy's eyes. There were no promises he could make. Ed was not even sure that what he built would be any better than what Carmine had destroyed. Even if it did work, he had no idea what it would choose to reclaim from the world. Besides, he did not have Kaleo's trust in Carmine's motives. For all he knew, this was an act on her part, some kind of effort to gain the upper hand once more. He glared towards her, his voice harsh as he asked, "Why are you doing this? Why is the gate letting you help me?" She blinked, her eyes staring straight through him as she drew in a breath, flinching visibly every time the vaporish, dusky forms of the angry phantoms thrashed towards them. It knows it cannot stop this now. It can only save its strength and fight back once the new gate is built. She looked away for a moment, her voice quiet as she forced herself to concentrate on the array beneath her hands. "I am helping you because, all this time, I have not been able to see how wrong I was. It has been centuries since I looked at the world unhindered. I cannot make amends, but I can at least try and help put things right. Besides, I am a part of this. For all of your ability, you cannot succeed without me. The gate cannot be constructed by one half of the whole. It needs the input of the light and the dark, and I would rather give my assistance willingly than have you take it from me." Any reply Ed could have made was caught in his throat, cut short as the sharp bite of alchemy against his skin took his breath away. The air wavered with scorching heat, and a strong, metallic taste coated his tongue. The power was almost at its crescendo, and he knew, deep down, that neither he nor Carmine were in control of it anymore. It was not a tool in their hands. They were merely conduits, shaping its haze into something sharp and potent. All he could do was hang on for the ride. The air rang as the transmutation exploded outwards, lancing through the mist towards the horizon. Carmine's gasp of pain echoed in his ears at the same time as his own voice choked in agony. He was being pulled in every direction by a twisting force that he could never hope to control. His eyes wanted to drift shut, to surrender to the inevitable, but he forced himself to stay alert, wrestling with the alchemy even as it threatened to shatter his mind apart with its might. Babylon's stones had formed the frame of the old gate, but this array required nothing so substantial to work with. Formless energy still surged through from the other worlds, and the transmutation slowly began to shape it, changing it from raw power into something more tangible. Massive foundations of light earthed themselves, forming a writhing arch that slowly solidified into glassy columns. They scattered rainbows amidst the darkness, the colors a startling dichotomy to the shadows all around. This time, there was nothing as man-made as carvings etched on their surface. Instead, glowing strands wound through the translucent surface like sunlight breaking through water. Silver vines, sound given form, curved gracefully over the lintel, putting forth tiny flowers, their colors corresponding to those of the four basic elements that powered the array. No doors. That was a firm necessity in Ed's mind. They suggested too much. Freedom and imprisonment, a way forward and a closing trap. They suggested a portal through which people could walk. one foot in front of the other and whole in body, mind, and spirit. Those brown, scarred barricades had been both a lure and a threat when he stood before them as a child. He had both longed and feared to know what might lie beyond them. This time, there would be no such coy secrets. This time, the gate would be laid bare to anyone with the eyes to see it. A fair warning to any alchemist who approached it in the hopes of gaining the impossible. Incandescent waves, like curtains of billowing silk, filled the archway, glowing with a bubbly, glimmering sheen. Energy could still pass through it when called for or summoned back across the threshold, but the sight was not one a person, even an alchemist, could pretend they understood. There was nothing familiar about the gate's appearance. It was an edifice of crystal and light, fiery, raw, and dangerously beautiful. Yet it stood still and dead, nothing but a construct, and Ed felt the sneering satisfaction of the old gate in the back of his head as it realized there was no sign of activity within the arch. Yet the transmutation was not complete. Flashes shot over the bland world, sending snapping sparks across the barren surface. Wherever it touched, colors began to form, creeping together like spilt paint as they took shape. The scent of the air changed from hot tin to a drier, more familiar fragrance, and a bleak wind began to bite into Ed's face, flecked with grains of amber sand. Gray gave way to gold as a rough-edged groan filled his ears. Buildings climbed into existence, shaking dust from their roofs as they jutted upwards. Greenery unfurled, putting forth blooms that stretched their petals outwards. The dark slate sky bleached itself, brightening to an impossible blue overhead as a false sun ignited, pinned at its zenith as it shone down on the city. Dimly, Ed thought he could see the familiar shape of riders and the surrounding homes beneath the picture of the sandy city, like one image overlaid on another. Behind him, something toppled with a groan, and then the rushing laughter of falling water chimed in the air. Tiny arrays were dotted all around as the streets of Babylon unfurled, extending beyond the endless horizon and a permanent testament to the original cost of the gate. Even the market was there, its stalls hung with gemstone-colored cloth and fragrant with perfumes and spices. There was not a soul in sight, but Ed could feel his tension dissipating. It was not a place of death and sorrow. Life and happiness were instilled in the stone and, over it all, the new gate shone down. "How did you..." Carmine's question died on her lips as she stared out across the city that had once been her home. "This is... perfect," Kaleo murmured, his amazement filling Ed's head with brief joy. Second by second, the wind died, falling away with the sibilant hush of settling sand. Babylon sprawled before them, as real as central. Ed could feel the heat of the sun on his skin and taste the parched air. He had seen this place fall to dust, yet here it was, born again through alchemy. It was like paradise, a place of lush life amidst the cracking graveyard of the desert. Even if it was an illusion, it gave the soul respite, and he dimly wondered at its purpose. Hughes had said that he had seen nothing when he had died, and that statement had lingered in Ed's mind ever since. Was eternal night all that he had to look forward to? Was this life really it? Now, looking around, he suspected that his fears had played a part in shaping the array, bringing this new component of the gate into existence. It was a place of rest, somewhere that spirits could linger, always in the gate's presence, but separate nonetheless. Their energy may go through the arch, but perhaps a fragment of consciousness, their individual identity, could stay here, remembered in leaf and stone and living on in the air. "Look!" Carmine's hushed instruction made him lift his heavy head, forcing his eyes to focus on the roiling fog of angry souls that still thrashed beyond the edge of the array. Was it his imagination, or was the mist thinning? Twitching movement seemed to subside, and the darkness faded away. Furious faces relaxed, their features smoothing away into wisps of vapor as the playful wind urged them on. "They're happy," Ed could only hear rowdy laughter and the clattering of footsteps. Voices chattered to one another, the barrier of language long gone. Out of the corner of his eye, he thought he saw figures dressed in desert robes and military uniforms. But when he turned his head to look more closely, there was nothing there.
Useless.
The twin voices of the old gate boomed in his ears, and Carmine flinched away. The words seemed to hover all around them, and the newborn sun dimmed as the air began to waver. Trembling, the blinding light of the array stuttered and changed, taking on a fierce, sharp quality. It burned along Ed's nerves and lanced through his skull, forcing itself through Kaleo's presence and flooding through to the white shine of the gate beyond. Beside him, Carmine's breaths were falling from her lips in rapid sobs. Her hands balled into fists as she curled up in agony. Her body spasmed and the darkness flared away from her, the malice that she hosted finally breaking free. It was like featureless ink, but hatred poured from it, human and vile. It reached towards Ed, brushing a taunting caress against his cheek, tearing a scream from his throat as the light responded. Saw-edged power burst out, arching his spine with its strength as it poured from his skin, burning everything it touched. It felt as if he stood in the heart of an invisible flame, locked in a paralysis of agony as bleeding cuts opened across the back of his hands and up the bare column of his flesh arm. They did not heal themselves, and he stared at them in surprise, watching the trickle and drip of crimson across the tan parchment of his skin. He was so used to every wound being wiped clean that it took him a moment to realize what it signified. The luminescence that he had sheltered from the world was pulling itself free, leaving his body to succumb. His breath caught in his throat, choking him as his lungs brimmed with blood. The cough shook his shoulders, making him fold his arms around his ribs in an effort to support himself. Ed could feel the sick, hard burn in his chest. All the damage the gate had wrought upon him was still there. It had never healed. Even Kaleo had only been able to delay the inevitable. And now he could not sense the Boy King within him. Only the voice of his own thoughts lingered on, panicked, afraid, and furious. Every hacking gasp that slipped past his lips gave him a fraction of the air that he needed, and a shrill ringing echoed in his ears as his vision began to fade. Scarlet smattered across the ground, dripping from his mouth to pool in the grooves that formed the array, but he could not bring himself to accept that these were the last moments of his life. This could not be the way it ended. After all he had been through, all he had achieved, how could he fall at the last hurdle?
You have lost.
Shadow and light spoke in unison, two monochrome walls facing one another, seeping through the streets and flashing up the walls of the city, circling like the wolves of two warring packs.
For all the hope, it was never truly believed that you would get this far. Your potential was seen, but your strength was never going to be enough. It is over.
Sound rocked the city, howling across the plain as white and black lunged for one another, smashing together in a tangle of fury and hate. He knew that it was war, even if there was nothing as mundane as gunfire ripping through the air. Babylon shuddered beneath the unrestrained loathing as each side battled for supremacy. It was a storm of unimaginable proportions, and even as Ed fought for breath, he could not tear his eyes away. He could see how some alchemists had likened the gate to a god, because now he could see it in all of its horrible glory. There was no such thing as mercy or compassion from either side. Black and white were both intent on victory, and nothing mattered but their selfish, human need for dominance.
You can still stop this!
Kaleo's voice was loud in his ear, and Ed shifted his bleary gaze to look at the boy who stood at his side, no more substantial than mist given shape. The white robe was clear and pure, and now his young jaw was held strong and firm, angry and determined.
You've come this far, but if you stop now, then it will all be for nothing. Everyone you love will still die, because there will be no end to this.
He pointed at the animalistic battle that flared all around them.
The two halves will tear every world apart. But the whole? You can still make that a reality. You still have the time.
Dark brown eyes shifted to Carmine's prone form, and Ed followed his gaze. The woman lay on her back, her fingers curled loosely as she stared unblinkingly at the sky. She looked like a porcelain doll, beautifully real but still and lifeless. No breaths lifted her chest, and no expression crossed her face. She was gone, and Ed had not even noticed her passing. A movement at the edge of the array made his vision swim, and he blinked to clear it, trying to make sense of what he saw. Another Carmine stood beyond the design, her white dress flowing around her in the gale that buffeted the realm. A gold crown encircled her temples, nestling among her dark hair. Her expression was one of determined belligerence, but he did not miss the softening of her eyes when she looked upon her son. Her hand darted to her lips, covering her mouth in surprise, and it was in that moment that Ed realized he could see straight through her. She was as much a ghost as Kaleo.
"The gate gave her a false life. When it left, it took that away," the boy whispered. "If you cannot make the gate you built work, then every soul will be lost. There will be no Babylon for them. There will be no afterlife of any kind. There will only be oblivion. All human endeavor will be gone, and you will never see those you care for again."
He dropped to his knees as Ed coughed again, small hands bracing Ed's shoulders as he gasped for his next breath.
"The gate did this to you. When you went to retrieve your brother, it asked this price because it knew that, once you found out, you would return to demand true equivalent exchange."
Kaleo's hands shook him gently, trying to stir him from encroaching unconsciousness.
"It used you, and when it decided that it no longer needed you, that it could fight its other half, it threw you away. All plans to put back what Carmine destroyed became irrelevant, and so did you. But you were too strong for it then, just as you are now. Please, Ed, please get up."
"I don't know how," Ed spluttered, curling in on himself. "Don't know how to get it started."
"It's built from alchemy, pure alchemy. All it needs is one more spark."
Something about Kaleo's words made Ed pause, and he blinked at the blood-smeared ground. The gate was not just energy. It was a thing of life, and like all life, it had to begin somewhere. There had to be a seed. With clumsy fingers, he dug into his pocket, trying to ignore the wet rattle of every struggling breath. He gripped the smooth, sleek stone that had formed within him like a pearl around a splinter. He still did not fully understand what had happened. He could remember Kaleo's warning when the shard had cut into his flesh, and he had thought that the gate had been the cause. But now he was not so sure.
"You created it, not me, and not the light that hid in you. It is untouched by anything except your own alchemy and a fraction of Carmine's power."
Kaleo shrugged, his young face serious as he conveyed a wisdom so far beyond his years.
"It is balance. There can be no dawn without dusk, nor night without day, just as there can be no gate without alchemy, and alchemy cannot be sustained without the gate."
Kaleo's voice was fading, getting weaker by the moment as Babylon shuddered in the crossfire of the fight. Ed could hear the boom of falling rubble and the growing wail of frightened voices, even as his heartbeat began to stammer and fail. There had to be more time. If he did nothing else, then he had to make this work, or all the pain and suffering and conflict had been for nothing. Forcefully, Ed gritted his teeth, gathering the frail tatters of his strength around him and coercing his muscles into action. Slowly, every bone protesting and each muscle tortured, he stumbled to his feet, one hand held out to catch himself if he fell. His throat was wrecked, too full of hot, tangy fluid to take in more than stuttering breaths as the world swam giddily in front of his eyes. The new gate towered over him, its empty arch waiting patiently as he shifted the small, clear stone to his automail hand. At least he knew that the steel had not lost its strength. The plates shifted and hushed against one another as he drew his arm back, ignoring the agony in his chest as he hurled the crystal into the shifting sheets of color that hung within the translucent frame. Time hung suspended as the stone rested like a diamond on a jeweler's cushion. Ed clapped his hands together, aiming the last spark he had left to give towards the waiting silence of the new gate. It flared through the air, curling wisps of shadow in its wake as it darted like a falling star and struck the small gem of alchemy. With a ground-shaking bang, the power exploded outwards. The wind changed direction, no longer a wailing, wild thing, but a strong, determined pull on the air. It blew through the archway, away from Amstris, and back towards whatever lay beyond, and Ed could feel the raw energy dancing across his skin in response as the new gate gained its strength. Furious shrieks echoed through the city, and invisible claws gouged lines in the sandy ground as the deep shadows and stark rays of light fought to escape. Houses shattered beneath their rage, collapsing to dust and rebuilding themselves in seconds as plants wilted and sprouted forth all over again. Ed could feel loathing and wrath sleeting all around him, and he did not have time to do more than flinch as a twisting spar of white and black lashed out, whipping through his body in hateful retribution. It snatched at his spirit with familiar, snake-like arms and tried to pull him into its weakening embrace, tugging at his body like a leash around his neck. His hands clutched instinctively at his throat as the next breath yielded nothing but blood, and the one after gave him only a taste of tainted air. The tide had almost risen too far, and no amount of coughing could clear the pooling heat in his chest. He felt Kaleo's insubstantial arms around him, tugging him free from the dying gasp of the old gate, before lowering his tortured body gently to the ground.
"You can't have him!" he spat, his young voice furious. "He's suffered enough because of you, and now your time is over!"
Like a death knell, the combined voice spoke, echoing through the air with spiteful anger and cold disdain.
"As is his."
A massive shockwave rocked through the plain as energy exploded outwards, bathing everything in a quicksilver glow. It was neither hot nor cold, fierce nor gentle. It was a consistent pressure that swamped the city, firm and sure as it chased out the last of the darkness and ensnared the final traces of light, drawing it back inwards towards the threshold. Slate-gray rain fell, pocking the sand. Ed stared through barely open eyes as the water evaporated in a twist of toxic-looking vapor, the human taint of the gate forever purged from its presence. Ed had made sure that no germ of humanity remained in what he had built. This time, he hoped the foundations were good and pure, strong enough to last forever. Babylon's dusty streets were filled with heavy, musical notes, repeating over and over like the tolling of cathedral bells. But it was a solemn, heavy sound. Ed's eyes were almost closed, and he felt Kaleo's hands ghost across his face. There was a sob that reminded him of Al when they were both kids, and his fingers twitched with the need to reach out, but there was no life left in him. Carmine's voice, soft and untainted by hate or fear, was a distant murmur of reassurance. For the first time in thousands of years, she took Kaleo in her arms, rocking him gently as she watched Ed with sadness and endless gratitude in her eyes. She knelt at his side amidst the lines of the array, her lips moving as she spoke to her son, trying desperately to ease his hurt as Ed slipped further from the light. Another cough shook him, a weak, gasping choke that had his body twisting in an effort to get away from the pain. He could see the ghosts now, far more clearly than ever before. They were crowded around the edge of the array, some kneeling, some standing, but all were silent, reaching out helplessly towards him as if they longed to ease his final breaths. One of them was moving, pushing through the others and running across the intervening space to kneel beside him, taking his flesh hand between her own palms. He blinked and tried to speak, but Trisha Elric shook her head fiercely. Her eyes, so like Al's, were bright as her lips trembled and sobs shook her shoulders. "This is all my fault. I'm so sorry that I left you, that I let this happen to you, Edward." He tried to shake his head, lifting his shoulders a fraction from the ground before collapsing back, face screwed up in agony. Shadow cloaked his vision, drawing clouds over the world, and he struggled for another breath as he let his eyes close. A kiss, as soft as the touch of a butterfly's wings, brushed over the array on his forehead, and his mother's voice, crippled with grief, whispered, "I am so very, very proud of you."
"It's not fair!"
Kaleo's shout echoed through the desert city, bouncing back and forth from wall to wall and resonating through the glassy gate.
"After all he has been through, all he put right, this isn't how it should be. He created a new gate. He gave it life, and it cost him everything. How is that fair?"
Ed could not open his eyes again. His strength was draining out of him, his thoughts becoming slow and thick as his body began to shut down one system after another. His pulse was a slowing beat in his ears, and beyond that sound there was nothing but sun-baked silence. If he had the energy left, he would have told Kaleo that life was not fair. That much he knew for certain. Something touched his mind gently, teasing fingertips that opened up the petals of his thoughts and slipped inside. They moved tenderly, stirring up one image after the other. He saw his mother dying all over again, felt, without pain, the loss of his arm and leg, and all that he got back in exchange. The homunculi flashed in front of his vision, smug and knowing before they faded away, lost from the world or reclaimed by the dark hands of the gate. The Philosopher's Stone gleamed in the chest of Al's armor, full of promise, but a price was asked nonetheless. The rest of Ed's life was taken away in return for his brother's body and mind. Carmine's power, dank and gruesome, ignited in his mind, and he saw Hughes standing before the collapsing gate, alive and amazed. Finally, like a free-wheeling cinema reel, hundreds of transmutations, minor and major, the fluctuating heartbeat of alchemy, flickered across his consciousness, and he realized what he was being told. So many wrongs had been committed, and so many demands had been made. How could the newly formed gate even begin to make it all right? The sins of its predecessor had not been isolated incidents. So much of the world as it now stood was built on the consequences of its actions. To restore the balance now, to take back what had been given and return what had been lost, was impossible. The only option was to leave the past behind, to look away from the blackness of all the wrongs that had been committed, and move forward. Softly, like water spilling from a bowl, a sound blossomed. It was quiet and nurturing, loud and cruel, all in one. The voice of the gate he had created. It did not speak in so many words, but as Ed slipped beyond the reach of life, its words were clear.
Equivalent exchange.